We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the Thanksgiving week version of Talking Yang. We're doing it on Tuesday instead of Monday because Liss is only coughing up half a lung instead of an entire lung. So he's good to go. He just finished up a real man. So that's good.
Yeah, too soon. I just finished up a real man wood and went on for like an hour and I got to edit like half of it because most of it's garbage.
Well, that's a given, right? How much do you edit out on that?
Usually I just edit out like cumulatively like 3 or 4 minutes, maybe even less, 2 minutes. A minute, a lot of ums and uhs and all these things. And I go through it, but sometimes I'll edit out a little section that I realize, you know, it's a kind of a bad take or something, or I'm repeating myself. So it takes me like an hour and a half to edit it, though. It's a real pain in the ass.
It is. It really is. When I have the time to do it, I'm not going to have a time today to do that because it's value meter day. You know, and anytime we do this on a Tuesday, I can't do the fine tooth comb thing here. I have to, you know, if there's a F bomb or something like that, or we're disparaging someone that we shouldn't be disparaging, or it's just lame, then maybe I'll cut the whole thing out. Like this whole intro, perhaps. Or maybe we'll just leave it.
Exactly. This is like it's a good place to start.
All right. All right. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving draft day. We're doing our draft for the Thursday games on air on XM. It kind of made me think a couple of things. First of all, I love doing Thanksgiving drafts. I think just doing granular games, when you have the 3 games on one day and they're all standalone, you got to sit through and watch these games. You might as well have something on the line. And, you know, I'd rather do this than play DFS Thanksgiving Day. I'd rather take money from my friends than from strangers who are going to take from me more likely than not.
Yeah, or in your case, I give money to your friends. But yes, I get this. I agree with the sentiment. I like betting, like real money. I don't really gamble online. I used to have my brother had a guy who had a guy to a guy, and I'm not going to say because I don't know who it is. Okay, so if the authorities are listening, I got nothing for you. But you know, I used to have a source, but I don't have. I should probably just use the illegal online ones, but I've just kind of stayed away. And actually, in Portugal, I'm not even sure that it is illegal. I could probably go to a shop here or do something. I got to look that up. But I kind of like good old fashioned against the spread handicapping for the holidays. I think it makes your holiday better. I mean, assuming you don't lose a bunch of money.
Yeah, I all of that is true. And I don't have an offshore account. I never have. I know a couple of people that have dabbled in that before, but I don't even know if they do that anymore. But I got to figure, you know, we're going to have that adult conversation about gambling in this country, state by state. I figure California's got to be one of the ones that's going to adopt it earlier than others, but hasn't gotten there yet. I know we've got like Delaware and New Jersey and a couple other states. I think Pennsylvania maybe now too. You know, if they
no one lives in Delaware. Like, how is that going to be, you know, Delaware, all the corporations are incorporated in Delaware because there's such like a friendly place for corporations, but nobody lives in Delaware. How many people live in Delaware?
12.
It's really very few.
Keith Law and 11 other people. But and one of them is a NASCAR guy that runs the track there, so he barely even counts. But I've actually that's one of the seven states I've never been to.
I think I've driven through it. I think on the way to
Philly, right?
Yeah, Maryland or something. I drove through Delaware briefly, maybe. It's possible.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for me to check that one off my list there. Mostly for me, it's the Northeast. I haven't been to Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire. You've hit all of those, I'm sure.
Oh, many times.
That's Rhode Island, I haven't done. Those four, Delaware, Alaska, and Mississippi, although I've been told now that I may have actually stepped foot in Mississippi because we had a family vacation thing in Tennessee one year, and we visited a Civil War battle site that may or may not have crossed the Tennessee-Mississippi border. So I might be down to six, which would be pretty good for me. That's pretty good.
You've been to Hawaii?
I have been to Hawaii. Okay. We're going to go back maybe even soon. I'm looking forward to that, actually. Hawaii's awesome. Have you never been?
I've been to Hawaii. Okay. Don't try to say I've never been to Hawaii.
You're the big traveler. I mean, I assumed you had been. That's why it was more of a surprise.
I haven't been to as many states as you. I'm missing – what am I missing? I'm missing – well, I drove through actually. I'm missing the Dakotas, those two.
So Kim's got family in South Dakota, so that was easy to knock that one off. In North Dakota, as a kid, we went to a wedding in Fargo. So it drove from Minneapolis to Fargo for a day, basically.
I've never been to North or South Carolina.
Really? I've been to those a lot. I was just there in North Carolina this past summer for golf.
For West Virginia.
I've been to both many times my brother lives in Virginia, so I got that check, that box check.
Or Tennessee either.
Yeah. We used to do a lot of driving trips with my family and, you know, started off in the Midwest. So it was a good way to kind of hit a lot of places too. So anyways, I don't know how I got on that tangent, but it is kind of fun to track that sort of stuff. Anyways, so what sort of things?
Hawaii, dude. Don't try to act like I've never been to Hawaii.
I don't know. You've never talked about it.
Why you try to front like I've never been to Hawaii?
Why do I ever try to front about anything?
I don't know. There's no point.
What sort of expat community you got going on in Portugal? Do you celebrate Thanksgiving with anybody there?
Yeah, well, last year, you know, Heather and Sasha went back to L.A., and I stayed here, and I had Thanksgiving with our friends who were actually in the State Department and sort of live in the suburbs. Like, you know, it's a little 30-minute train ride up the coast, mm-hmm. kind of a nice little, like, near-the-beach suburb called Estoril. And we're going back there. It's Sasha's friend from her first school when she was here, and the parents are cool. They actually live in Reno, but they've been in Germany now, Portugal, and then they're going to Rome for three more years after this next year.
Wow.
So he does these department tours. It's pretty cool. They're nice people, and it's kind of a cool job that he has.
And you'll never see him again after this year.
No, we'll visit them in Rome. We're pretty good friends with them now.
That's good. Doing the Thanksgiving drafts. So are you going to be able to watch the games tomorrow, or I guess not? I mean, maybe you'll catch the early game, right?
Well, it's Thursday, first of all. But second of all, the early game is 2:30, so we'll be there. And I'll have my phone, which I can stream with my Game Pass account to their TV. Yeah, we'll put the games on.
Nice. Very good. Any strategy advice for the people playing the Thanksgiving game pools?
I really haven't even looked at it.
Okay.
I'm probably going to put a list in front of me like 5 minutes before the show.
Well, DVR, here, promotional note, Derek Van Riper did an article with this Thanksgiving game rankings, and he always does like pie rankings and beer rankings and things like that. I don't know what he has this year. I haven't read it yet, but I'll be using that for our draft tomorrow. So at least I'll allude to that. We're all going to be scrambling to try to get like Saints, maybe Falcons, although who knows the Saints defense if you're going to be that eager to get Falcons. But with the Bears, who knows? Trubisky might not even play. That could ruin that set of offense stuff if you're trying to rely on Chase Daniel. Who knew that, you know, after what we were thinking about Trubisky earlier this year, that would have such a big effect on the rest of the Bears offense? Maybe it won't. What do you think about that?
I think it will. It's just practice time. You know, like everyone's like, oh, QB is so important. Look, when the line moves 6 points when the QB's out. But I'm like, so much of that is just like, because whoever the starter is, even if he's kind of scrubby, you know, he knows the offense. He knows the players. It just takes time. So when Case Keenum takes over for Bradford, the line moved probably 4 points, but like 3 weeks later, you know, it was the same as it was because Keenum had integrated in. Now, sometimes these guys are like, you know, Brett Hundley and they suck. And there's nothing you can do in your McCarthy offense, and anyone besides Aaron Rodgers is just going to fail. But in a creative offense, could Chase Daniel in 3 weeks get ready? Yeah, but in 1 week, half a week, short week, seems like a stretch. I think they'd be running the ball a lot and just doing a lot of short throws, which might work, but, you know, it's kind of it'll be one of those sluggish, slug-it-out defensive games where the Bears' defense has to win the game.
Meanwhile, we have a confirmed QB change, you know, forever, maybe perhaps in the case of Alex Smith with the Redskins. Colt McCoy starting against the Cowboys on a short turnaround. He did get the playing time at least and looked okay against Houston, actually. In fact, I think it may even help Jordan Reed. I'm not 100% sure on that hot take, but it might help him a little bit.
Well, he got targeted once McCoy came in, and he was never reliably targeted with Smith. So that's all we know.
Yeah.
And that's probably enough to go on that it certainly can't hurt and could help. McCoy's okay. You know, I think McCoy is kind of like he's kind of like a poor man's Alex Smith. You know, he's mobile. He doesn't throw really down the field. I think he's a little bit more mistake prone than Alex Smith. He's very safe, but he's going to be a game manager too. So. Yeah. In this case, it's probably good. I think Dallas is the type of team that plays down to the level of the opponent and will slug it out on the ground. And Washington's defense is actually pretty good this year. And I think that it could be a close game. McCoy may just be, you know, mobile enough and experienced enough just not to screw it up.
We may have a quarterback change with the Titans. Mariota got hurt and may have aggravated the nerve problems in his elbow. Haven't got, you know, we don't know for sure whether that's going to be the case. But if it is the case, it, you know, and he's been diagnosed with a stinger is what the latest is I've seen on that. But you know what? That still could linger. And, you know, it might not be the elbow injury as before. It still, but that still could affect his feel and all that. You know, Blaine Gabbert's a definite downgrade there. We know that.
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert is only Nathan Peterman is worse than Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. We got tons of turnover at QB this week. Trubisky, we mentioned him. Ryan Tannehill's going to be back this week. For the Dolphins, they've confirmed him as a starter. Any hot takes on him versus Osweiler? Is this the kind of practice time is really the only difference between the two, or is there a tangible difference?
No, Osweiler played okay for a couple games, and then he really cratered. I think that Tannehill is okay, you know, kind of like he's like what I would consider true replacement value, not like below replacement value that a lot of people are forced to go with. I think he's like, you know, the baseline of what an NFL QB should be, like just somebody who's okay, mm-hmm. somewhat mobile, can make the throws, not great. And I think that's probably worth like 3 points, 2.5 points more than Osweiler. And it should help them a little bit. Devontae Parker's still banged up, and I think that's kind of big. You know, as soon as he was healthy, like you could see he's a difference-making receiver.
Right.
And, you know, this other guy, Stills, is pretty good, actually. And Jakeem Grant, if he's healthy.
He's out for the year.
Oh, he's out for the year. Okay.
Yeah, he's out for the year, so forget about him.
Okay, and then Danny Amendola. I got to delete him from the cheat sheet. And Danny Amendola probably gets some work, but I don't know. It's like Drake and Stills, I guess, are the playmakers. Maybe that's enough for them to do something, but I kind of think that the Colts are going to kill them.
Yeah, I kind of think so, too. Kind of leads me to our next exercise. We did about five games on the air. We did the Thanksgiving Day games and two others on air, the Guess the Spread exercise, which I'm really enjoying doing this. And since we didn't really have time to finish that today, I figured we'd finish that out here if that's cool with you.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, so let's talk about this Colts and Dolphins game. It's at Indy. I guessed that the line would be Colts -7.5. What did you say?
I had it way bigger, like 10 or something. Let me pull this up.
Right. And I guess it's 53.
I guess that it would be 11.5 and a total of 50.5. No, 52.
Okay,
so it's actually 50.5.
And it's actually up to 51 now, and it's -9. That's what it's at looking at the consensus page of that site we use. So I'm off on this one here. So you know, a little over on the over under and under on the Colts favorite. You know, and the Colts defense, maybe they're actually legitimately decent. I mean, that Darius Leonard is leading, I think, everybody in tackles, plus he has like five sacks and an interception or two. I mean, he's been a big value add for this team. And it's like, you know, sometimes when a team gets all these young guys, we're like, oh, I don't recognize any of these names. But no, sometimes that's okay. You know,
sometimes it's better. I mean, you know, when the veterans suck and you get a bunch of no names that you don't know because they're young, you give these guys a shot. Some of them are way better than even they're supposed to be.
Right. And that seems to be the case here. You know, who's the corner that quit on the Bills at halftime? He's a former Colt.
Vontae Davis.
Vontae Davis, yeah. Oh, they lost Vontae Davis. How can they live without that? Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just a name that you know because he used to be good.
Exactly. That's exactly the example I was thinking of there. Jacksonville at Buffalo. Jags have lost six in a row. The Bills are probably going to start Josh Allen. He had a full practice this week, coming off the bye. You know, Matt Barkley might be their best current quarterback. Derek Anderson's still in concussion protocol, but he was at practice with a helmet on his head, for whatever that matters, today. So what do you make out of this game? What did you guess it at?
Sorry, I was just deleting Jakeem Grant. Say that again.
Okay, Jacksonville. What did you guess them at here? It's Jacksonville at Buffalo. I guess
I had it Jacksonville minus 1.5.
I had Jacksonville minus 3.
I guessed it would be 3.5, and it actually is 3.5. And obviously, I like Buffalo because I don't think they should be getting the field goal on the hook at home.
Yeah, I guessed it would be Jacksonville minus 3, so I didn't give them the hook. And I'm reading it now. It's down to 3. So maybe before we do staff picks, make sure you get the most current line there.
Yeah, I always do it Wednesday morning when I'm writing the article. I put in the lines for my guesses, and then I revise them.
The total is the interesting part for me. What did you guess the total would be?
34.5.
Okay, you overguessed. I underguessed. I guessed it'd be 43. It's actually 37.5. So I was way off.
Well, actually, I didn't guess what it was going to be. I just made it what I thought it should be.
Okay, fair enough. But it's 37.5. So, yeah, it makes sense, though. I mean, I just finished doing the rewatch of Jacksonville-Pittsburgh, and I'm blogging it, too, by the way. So check out the RotoWire blog, rotowire.com/blog. It's right up there. And I finished that one. This was just like the Tennessee game for Jacksonville. They didn't even try to throw downfield. It's embarrassing watching this offense.
It is embarrassing.
And they just don't trust Bortles at all. And I get why. But you spent a second-round pick on DJ Chark. He is your deep guy. You know, they don't throw any deep balls to him. They didn't throw any targets to Keelan Cole. You want to talk about a guy whose stock has just evaporated. He's not hurt. He's just not getting snaps and getting no targets the last 2 weeks. It's a pathetic offense.
I think Doug Marrone has kind of got that, like, disease that Mike McCarthy disease without the Super Bowl. Like, they just get stubborn and they get frustrated and they just act out. Like, we're just going to run it 100 times with Fournette right into the teeth of the defense. That's how we play football.
Yeah.
They finished. Okay, I get it. Bortles made some mistakes. You want to base your team around something a little more stable. Totally fine. But that's just reactive to not mix it up, you know, not to take a shot and get these players involved, and I don't really know what they're doing.
The Jaguars finished with four consecutive three and outs to end the game. There were 6 minutes left in this game. James Conner dropped a pass on 4th and 5, and the Steelers are going for it. Down 10, got pinned, and then the Jags went a three and out and punted it deep, pinned the Steelers back, and they still won. Down 10 with like 4.5 minutes left getting the ball. Really crazy, stupid game. The Steelers did everything to lose this game, and the Jaguars just said, do not want. Can't win this one. We will not win this. We will not allow you to beat us. I mean, we'll not allow you to lose to us. Just horrible, horrible offense. Just pathetic. I mean, the defense was awesome in this game. They have to be rightly pissed off at this one here, just how pathetic this offense was.
Well, I mean, you know, Bortles is bad, but they feel like they're boxed in, right? Either he's going to throw three picks and lose the game, or you're going to hide him, and then the defense has to win the game. Mm-hmm. And you'll have a game like this where the defense takes over early, but eventually it doesn't hold.
Right.
So, you know, they just didn't design their team right. And I guess they thought Bortles was going to be better. He played okay in the playoffs, but I don't know. I'd be shocked if he's the quarterback next year.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, you just can't go on like that. Just what a waste, too. You've got this great, great defense, and here you are just like, you know, just it's really sad. It's just really sad. But
why are there rumors that they're going to trade Jalen Ramsey? Like, Jalen Ramsey is their best player. Like, oh, because he talks up, he speaks up about how bad the offense is. I mean, fire the coach. Get rid of Bortles. Why would you trade your best player? It's like the person who's sounding the alarm is the problem, not the thing that he's sounding the alarm about.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's other stuff going on there that they just don't get along. And, of course, the coach is going to protect his own self as opposed to taking the side of the player. So who knows? I never understand what these teams are doing half the time there. It's like Richard Sherman. I mean, he's playing good ball for the Niners now. He's clearly got – he had an injury at least, but he's playing good ball from all the metrics say, and plenty left in the tank there. So, yeah, just a total mess there. All right, let's move on. Pats and the Jets. Pats are coming off a horrible game. They're on the road. They're facing the Jets, who knows what they've got is their, what they've got going on at quarterback and their offense. Sam Darnold is considered, I quote from Todd Bowles, week to day to day, comma, week to week. He can jog without pain. He's got a foot injury. Okay, great. What does that tell us? Nothing. Tells us nothing. And maybe that's purposeful, but I get annoyed by crap like that. I guess the line is Pats -8. What did you do?
I guess it would be -9. I made it 10.5, and it's actually 9.5 because I wanted to take the Pats. I was only going to take the Jets if it was some ridiculous number, like 13. I just think the Pats are going to kill them, and the Jets are totally nutless.
Yeah, and I don't want to take the Jets. Let's put it that way. I even though my line is below what the line is, I just can't do it. I was way off on the total, though. I guess 51.5. It's 46.
I made it 46.5, and it's 46.5.
So you're feeling pretty good about that then.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. When you choose like a half point and an over-under, and it's exactly that. But it just made sense because the Jets can't be projected to score more than 18 points. You know what I mean? I knew when I knew the line.
Yeah.
When I guessed my line, I was like, okay, what's the score going to be? Like 26, 28 to 18 or something. The Jets aren't going to be projected to score in the 20s.
Right, exactly. They have some good cover corners, but the Pats had that week off. I think that sounds like Gronk's going to play. That'll help them some too. All right, let's move on to Bucks. Bucks are hosting the Niners. Two bad defenses here. I did Bucks -4 with a total of 54. What did you guess?
I guess 3.5. But I made the line 3, so I'm taking the Niners, and it actually is 3.5.
Yep.
I made the total 50, but the actual total is 55.
Yeah, so I tried to go high on this one here, but wasn't high enough. That makes sense. The Bucs can't stop anybody. Eli Billity was 17 for 18, right?
Well, I know it does, mostly because the rest of his team was so good. I mean, the Niners suck. The Niners, I guess Breida will run wild and
Kittle tear Goodwin, him apart. Goodwin's are a good player. It's the last two teams that the Giants have beaten, by the way. That's a low bar to clear. I mean that
beaten by the Giants.
Yeah.
If the Giants beat the Eagles this week, they're tied with the Eagles.
I know. I've heard this like 12 times because my Twitter feed's full of Giants people. You, a couple other industry guys, plus just following other writers. But yeah, we'll get to your Giants here in a second. Or no, we did the Giants already. That's right.
Yeah, we did them on the show.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, it is Eagles, -6? I still think that's 6. Too much. That's too much. It's too much. All right, I got to take your stupid Giants again. All right, Panthers hosting Seattle. What did you do on this one?
I made this line 3, and I guess it would be 3, but it's actually 3.5. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a little big. I mean, aren't these equal teams, Jeff?
I did the same thing you did. I had it 3. I think that's exactly what they are, equal teams. What'd you set the total at?
I had the over-under at 47.
You're closer than I am. It's 47.5, and I guessed 49. I just thought it'd be a little higher. But then again, who knows? I mean, Seattle on the road's a little bit of a different team, so I probably should have.
They also run it a lot, Seattle. They like to slow it down. They're not throwing that much. That slows down the game.
Not as bad as Dallas does, but still. Yeah, I can
They're
see
almost
that.
Like Dallas now. They play a similar game. They're kind of similar.
Yeah. And maybe that'll come to fruition. We'll see. I mean, Panthers are coming off a bad loss. Two losses in a row on the road. Right after we were praising them, after they whooped Baltimore, they turn around, got drilled by the Steelers, and then lost to Detroit. So the NFL keeping you on your toes.
They should have beat Detroit, though. They definitely time. They dominated Detroit. Detroit sucks.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I was in Detroit, and they missed a chip shot field goal and an extra point. And what was the other issue that was going on there? But it was like they should have won that game.
Ravens hosting the Cardinals.
Oh, the two-point conversion. Obviously, they had the game tied. They just decided to
go for two.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When you're looking for a credit card, get one that wins awards. The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card is NerdWallet's 2021 Best of Awards winner for Best 0% Intro APR and Balance Transfer Credit Card. It provides a great way to pay for large purchases over time, as well as consolidating other card balances. And speaking of award winners, the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card is NerdWallet's 2021 Best Credit Card for dining out or ordering in. Earn 4x points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. Get 2x points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. If you're into cashback or travel rewards, U.S. Bank has credit cards that feature those benefits, too. Check out their full suite of credit cards at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Ravens hosting the Raiders. Excuse me, I almost messed that up. I did mess it up. Ravens hosting the Raiders. I went big on this one. Ravens minus 11.
I went 12 and a half.
And, you didn't go big enough.
The actual line is 11. Okay. I knew it was going to be big. It's a little crazy with Lamar Jackson. Maybe it's Flacco. I hate Flacco. I just want to just go away. Just let Lamar Jackson develop. But hopefully Lamar Jackson will play. But either way, the Raiders, I mean, I like going against them off that token win where they can feel good about themselves. But the Ravens, the only problem is like the Ravens of like 3-4 weeks ago, I'd be like, oh, they'll win by 30. Like they're just going to kill the Raiders at home. But the Ravens that played the Bengals last week, that is a soft team. Like what happened to the Ravens?
What happened to the Ravens is there was a couple turnovers where the Bengals had short field position. That's the only reason why this game was close at all. Oh, Lamar Jackson Bengals scored two of their three touchdowns on short fields. They did almost nothing the rest of the game. They gave up over 400 yards to the Ravens. This game should not have been close. That it was speaks to, I mean, you know, a couple mistakes and maybe the fact that the Ravens are not that good. I still think that's a possibility also. But I still went big. I'm inclined to take the Ravens on this. I mean, it's exactly at 11. The total is at 42.5. I picked 43 in this one.
I said 43 also.
Yeah, the Ravens, the Raiders, they had their win last week, but they're not tangibly better. And they just lost Brandon LaFell. And who knows that losing Brandon LaFell actually hurts them. Their receiving core is what it is. I just don't see making the long trip to Baltimore.
Yeah,
second week in a row on the road.
Terrible. It's just they're going to get worked. It's going to be. I think it's going to be like 48-3 or something like that.
Yeah, 33-10, something like that. That's kind of the way I see it. Chargers hosting Arizona. Chargers they couldn't evade their DNA. They still are that team that just chokes whenever you want to use them in Survivor. And now they get another good Survivor matchup this week, home against the Cardinals. Cardinals found a way to lose to Oakland at home. But yet I find them to be a better team now that they got rid of Mike McCoy. I still think Wilkes is maybe but I can't confirm that one just yet. David Johnson seems to be doing a lot better. They would have had a huge, Survivor ceiling touchdown. Big cover ceiling touchdown and DFS ceiling touchdown that got called back for a holding penalty by Ricky Seals Joan Moore, who is now Ricky Seals My Fate. I said it. That's a long preamble. I had Chargers minus 8, and I had the total at 46.5. What do you have?
I had Chargers minus 13.5. I guess it would be 13. It's actually 12. And I have the total at 46, and it's actually 45.
Yeah, I had it 46.5, so I was over on that, but way under on the line itself. So I have to reevaluate.
You got to understand the Chargers are per play wise like elite. The only reason they lost that last game is they turned it over twice and they fell for a fake punt, which is basically a third turnover.
And they had a horrible play when running out the clock, too, when they were ahead, too. They had a missed handoff that turned into a sack. And then the following play, Rivers pulled a car, threw the ball into the ground. They were running the Broncos were out of timeouts. It was like 30.
All you do is slide. Just go down.
Just go down. Take the sack. Lose 40 seconds. So stupid. Yeah. That's the sort of thing the Chargers do, though. That's what I mean by DNA. They do stuff like that.
Yeah, it could be the great unraveling, but I think the Cardinals are going to crush them. I think.
Yeah, maybe so.
The Bosa, too. Like, we'll see if he has a setback, but if he's himself, they're going to be tough.
Pittsburgh goes on the road, faces the Broncos. It was going to be the night game, and I think it got flexed out. I think that's the case. It's a 425 game now. It was Bad Ben last week. He threw three picks. A fourth one could have, you know, was called back due to a penalty, but it was an obvious penalty. It was a good call. The one at the end, it could have sealed the game at the end. It was an obvious face mask on the receiver, and it was a wonder that the first official didn't catch it. But at any rate, they found a way to win, which is infuriating, and it seems like they're kind of that sort of team this year. I set them as a road favorite on this one, -4.5. What did you have?
-2.5, but I predicted to be -3, and it's actually -3.5.
I've seen it at 3 now. Morning. It's down to 3.
Okay, I guess it moved, unfortunately. I was loving the Broncos at 3.5. I still like them at 3, though, at home. Steelers aren't as good on the road. The Broncos are basically the Jaguars with an offense that's merely bad, not ridiculously bad. So I think the Broncos probably win this game, and I will happily take them with the points.
I'm probably going to end up taking the Steelers. I've got this like Stockholm syndrome thing when it comes to the Steelers. I don't know. I was way off though on the total on this one too. It's interesting. I want to kind of track this. Do you track like what happens when you're off by X number of points? What happens when you're, you know, when you nail it? Like how that corresponds to how well you do in staff picks?
I haven't, but anytime I'm way off on the spread, I haven't been tracking over-unders until last week. Every time I've been way off on the spread, I've been using the spread, you know, the pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, my super contest picks are largely reflective of that, and I'm not doing that well. I mean, I'm above 500, but barely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm going to try to start doing that, see if there's a significance between, like, when I'm off by, like, a point versus when I'm off by, like, 3. Is it just because I'm bad at handicapping, or does that mean that there is something there? I don't know. It'll be worth tracking. I guess I have to actually follow that, too, and like make the pick accordingly. Sometimes like I set that line, and I don't want to follow it because like, oh, that's not the side I wanted to be on. But it just – so it goes.
Well, set the line so that you put yourself on the side you want to be on.
Yeah, that's what you do,
Right, and then if the line is even more than you thought, which does happen to me occasionally – you're like, wow, okay, I guess I'm on the other side, but I'm getting a hell of a lot of points, way more than I thought I would.
Yeah, that's one way of approaching it. I might do that. All right, Vikings are another Sunday night game in a row. This is like three – I think their last three games have been Sunday night games. Didn't they, before the bye, have the Sunday night game against the Saints? Then they were at the Bears last Sunday, and now they're home against the Packers this Sunday night.
It's pretty strange.
It is weird. I mean, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. And I guess it, and of course it's a great rivalry. I get it. But anyhow, I think they're a better team than the Packers. They deserve more than the -3. So I set it at 4.5.
See, I set it at 3. I think they're about equal. I think the Vikings are a little better, but watching them last week against the Bears, like their offense kind of sucks.
Their offensive line is not that good. I think that's the thing that really, it bottles them up. And Cousins, when he gets pressured, you know, he makes mistakes. The running game did nothing in this game, too. I mean, they're running.
The Vikings defense is good, and they have good receivers, but I kind of feel like the Packers defense will give the Vikings some problems. And this is a 3-point, you know, it's basically even teams. And Aaron Jones is really good now.
Yes.
If it's the extra hook, I'm just taking the Packers.
So it's actually right at 3.5 right now. So, yeah, you got that hook. We'll see what happens by tomorrow morning. But. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to be taking the Vikings on this one. It's the McCarthy thing. I mean, yeah, there's been all this blowback. This is the first time he's actually been questioned by like more than just us. You know,
right? Like mainstream media is now on him.
Yeah, like why did you punt there? Why didn't you challenge there? I mean, it was two indefensible decisions. I mean, I don't even think they're really close. You know, I saw some people saying, well, you got to trust the defense. Why do you have to trust the defense? Why is the defense some entity that needs to be trusted, but Aaron Rodgers isn't?
But that's also just a false framing. Like, if you trust your defense, you go for it.
Right.
If you don't get it, your defense plays defense.
Yeah. And he goes, well, we looked at it and the math said this. No, you didn't look at the math at all. Stop freaking lying. You didn't look at the math. Come on. You can't even do subtraction, let alone like advanced math. Ugh, so bad. So bad. And, meanwhile, we got like Terry Bradshaw. If I had to decide between McCarthy and Rodgers, I'd go with McCarthy. What?
I know. With Terry Bradshaw, dude. Come on.
I mean, granted, I should consider the source. You're right. But still, you get these whole people that think that McCarthy's a good coach. Oh, he's won a Super Bowl before. No, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl for him. Come on, let's get this right. Anyways, so I'm on Minnesota on this one. Tennessee and Houston, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, that's a big part of it. It's Monday night. They get the extra day to get Mariota healthy. I had to set a line guessing that Mariota won't play is the way I approach this. So I set it Texans -8.
I think that's a fair line if Gabbert's starting, but I said it forgetting that there was a good chance that Gabbert would start. So I made it 3 with Mariota, which I think is the right line.
It's a line right now.
6, but yeah. I think that's sort of just trying to handicap, like middle it, like, okay, depending on who's starting. But if Mariota's starting, I love the Titans +6.
And the total is 41.5, so it's really low, too, on this one here, which makes sense. I mean, Houston's a good defense. Tennessee's got ostensibly a pretty good defense, so they played pretty poorly against the Colts. I guess when you don't hit the quarterback ever, that makes it hard to play defense. That's a remarkable thing. Luck hasn't been touched like the last 4 weeks. It's crazy how good their offensive line's playing.
Yeah, it is crazy, and it's also luck. I mean, give the quarterback credit for not taking sacks.
Yes, and being able to move when there's feeling that pressure and being able to move, as opposed to Eli, who's like a deer in headlights. There's a lot of other quarterbacks that way too, but Luck has been really good at kind of making those little steps here and there too.
Yeah, no, Luck is. I wrote this in my column, and I'll ask it here. I actually could have written about this in East Coast Offense, but I didn't. If you were just drafting from scratch NFL, like you were doing an NFL draft from scratch, but every player was available, how many players would you pick before Luck right now?
That's a really good question.
And they're the ages that they are. So, Brady's 39 and Rodgers is 33 or whatever.
Yeah, Luck would go before both of those guys, I would guess. I mean, it'd be come down to Mahomes versus Luck. It'd be kind of what I'd think, right?
Be Mahomes, Goff, Luck. Those are the guys that, Deshaun Watson maybe would go pretty high. Russell Wilson would be very high. But those would be the top. I mean, Luck would probably be a top 5 pick, right?
I'd have to say so.
I mean, think about how crazy that is. He'd be a top 5 pick. That's
how And we were wondering if he'd ever throw again. I'll admit, I have 0 shares of Andrew Luck this year. I was a skeptic. The fact that he was so limited in the offseason, and I just was like, nope. And, that's a blind spot for me. Is I like things to be settled. This is the verdict on him. But the thing is, it's a fluid. Players are fluid. The cards, they're not cards. They have different. They have changing value. And I want things to remain solved sometimes. And I got to get over that, because then you miss out on all these opportunities when things change.
Well, we talked about it. There's all these heuristics that you use. You're like, okay, well, don't take a player who needs to be healthy to earn value. Okay, cross Luck off the list. I can just get Jameis Winston at that same price, or I can get Jared Goff, or I can get, well, I guess if you got Goff, you're perfectly happy. Or I can get Carson Wentz when you're not happy. It depends, so you can, that's a good rule of thumb. If last year I bought Luck in the Stopa League and it was a huge waste in 2 QB league, it was the same thing. It was like, oh, he's going to be healthy first couple of weeks. And there's the heuristic like, no, don't, what you just said, which is don't worry about things being settled. You got to be flexible to get profits. I mean, they all run into conflict with each other, these heuristics.
Of course.
And they're all useful in the right. Everyone is correct when the example is correct and fits. The trick is always like figuring out which, rule to apply to which situation. So the rule itself is kind of valueless. It's only valuable when properly applied. And so the whole, the rubber meets the road where you apply it. So it's totally like you can never like look at what you did wrong and say, okay, I got to be more like this, because it's not that you have to be more like this. It's just you have to be more like this when a situation like this, which you didn't know it was, arises next time.
That's right. That's right. I want to finish with a couple of news items here. OJ Howard going on IR. This kills me. I have him in a lot of places, including a couple of best balls where I'm like, okay, I'm done. Don't have, you know, no more tight ends left.
Zero tight ends. Yeah.
The rest it's kind of been a theme this year. I mean, unless you have Zach Ertz or you have Travis Kelce, I mean, which are two of the three top ones, of course. And you've had to battle stuff all year. Olsen's missed a big chunk. Now Howard, some are expected. You know, you've got Tyler Eifert, of course. Yeah, of course he's out for the year. Jimmy Graham has a broken thumb. They're still seeing if he can maybe try to play through it, which seems kind of crazy to me, because you kind of need your hands to catch, I would think. But so it goes.
Yeah, he can't catch anymore anyway. So, you know, they use him as like a blocker. He can't block either. I don't know. Yeah, tight end has been a lot of injuries, and it really makes you see how Ertz and Kelce have been huge league winners, probably. You know, like people who have those guys, yeah. It's just what an edge to have those guys. I guess Kittle's been pretty big, too, for where you got him.
Yeah, that's true. Kittle has been awesome. Trey Burton's been okay. He's paid the bills. Has had his games where he hasn't done much, but he's had enough where he's done pretty much. I did one trade where I gave the guy a choice between Burton and Kittle still had his bye week coming, so he chose Burton, and I'm pretty grateful for that. But that's he's going to get hurt next week, and that'll cost me because I just lost karma points, but whatever. Kerryon Johnson looks like he's going to miss some time, but he's missing practice this week. They're treating it as like, oh, he's still missing practice, instead of affirmatively declaring him out yet. Again, I want things to be solved. I don't want to have to guess, but I would assume that he's not going to play this week and probably for a while is my guess.
Yeah, a team out of the playoffs, you don't really want to push your budding star rookie running back. Get him back when he's completely healthy.
Yeah. Hey, anything else you were working on with East Coast offense, or any other observations you want to share before we sign off?
Yeah, I got into it with people online that I didn't think Davante Adams was a good real-life receiver. I mean, I thought he was good, but not a great real-life receiver. And I got a lot of pushback on Twitter, I think because people confuse how good he is as a fantasy receiver, which he obviously is a top-five fantasy receiver, with how good he is in real life. So I wrote it up in East Coast Offense, made my case.
Okay, check that all out. RotoWire.com/pod. If you don't already subscribe to RotoWire, but yet you listen to this podcast every week religiously, you can still get a free 10-day trial and check out East Coast Offense. Highly recommend it. I love the intros that you write up for it, and as well as the notes. If you don't already check out the notes in the blog, some good stuff there. All right, that's going to do it for Talking Yang. Thanks for listening to us ramble on as we tend to do, and good luck in your Thanksgiving Day games. Take care.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.